Remember last week we learned we're at the end of Perigid on Usher. Kuf Gimel on the base. I don't remember how far we went. We got to the second line from the top, but we got further on Amud. I don't remember. Kuf Gimel on the base. Maybe we'll start again from the second line from the top. Rabbi Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. Reish Lakish was a Talmud. Rabbi Yechanan also lived in Eretz Yisrael. And Talmid Chachamim would come from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. They would tell over to the Amoraim and Bavel what Rabbi Yechanan had gezocht, what Reish Lakish had gezocht. So here they have two different messages. So the first line on the David says, Ki Osa Rabdimi, when Rabdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said over the following. Then a few lines later it says, Ki Osa Rabin, when Rabin came, he said over differently. A different version of the same discussion. Yeah, they were both Talmidim of Rabbi Yechanan. Yeah, so the two different versions of what Rabbi Yechanan said. So Ki Osa, from the top line, says, Ki Osa Rabdimi, and Rabdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar. So he says, Reish Lakish asked the Shaila of Rabbi Yechanan. Reish Lakish was a Talmid. Bo Eminei Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yechanan, what's the din? In order to violate the prohibition of Eivim and Achai, you have to, Eivim and Achai has to have a bone. You have to have Bosar, Gid, and Etzem. You have to have an Etzem Sholem. So what's the din of Cholk? You have an Eivim and Achai, and then you cut it up in half. Cholk can be Bachutz. You cut it with a fork and a knife before you put it in your mouth. Cholk can be Bachutz, outside of your mouth. You cut it before you put it into your mouth. It's already cut. What's the din? Amalei Patlas, Rabbi Yechanan said, you're not chai, because in order to be an Eiv Menachai, it has to be a barrier, it has to be Bishlei Musa. If you already cut it, it's detached, so it's not a barrier, it loses the shame Eiv Menachai, so you're not chai. What if he put the Eiv Menachai in his mouth, a Dover Sholem, and then he chews it with his teeth, and before he swallows it, it's in two different parts. He didn't swallow it Sholem. Mi bifnim, ay. What if Chilkai, what if he cuts the Eiv Menachai with his teeth in his mouth? Mai, Amalei Chayv. So that's the first version. The Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yechanan, what's it din? And he told him that it mibifnim is chayv. When the next one came from Eretz Yisrael, Ki Osa Rabin Amar, he had a slightly different version. Amar Cholkam Bibachutz Potter. If you have an Eiv Menachai, you detach a limb from a live chicken, from a live animal, and you cut it in half. It's not Bishlei Musa before you put it in your mouth. Potter, that's Lachalades. And Mibifnim, it doesn't really contradict the first version. The first version was Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yechanan, what's the din? Rabbi Yechanan said Potter. The second version has it. Rabbi Yechanan said Mibifnim, Rabbi Yechanan Machayv, and Reish Lakish disagreed with Rabbi Yechanan. Reish Lakish was a Talmid of Rabbi Yechanan. Every so often he would disagree with Rabbi Yechanan.
By anyone else?
I don't know. I don't know. The Gemara tells Reish Lakish belonged to a group of gangsters. Yeah. And then he met up with Rabbi Yechanan, became a Baal Tshuva, he learned by him, and then he learned so well that he sometimes developed his own opinions, and he often disagreed with Rabbi Yechanan. So the Ruba of the times that he disagrees with Rabbi Yechanan, we pass him like the Rebbe, like Rabbi Yechanan. The Gemara has only three cases where we pass him like Reish Lakish. Gemara Yevamos has. There were three cases where we passed like Reish Lakish. Yeah. He used to ask such good kashas. So Reish Lakish Amar Potter. Rabbi Yechanan Machayev. Why is he chayev? He chewed. He put Eiv Menachai in his mouth. It was shalom. It had a dinner barrier. It was shalom. Rabbi Yechanan Machayev. He didn't swallow it. But vasachas. So he said, "Hari nana grona because ice." He swallowed half. We had the Gemara in Amin Al. The Gemara said, if you eat something that's treif, let's say you swallow a bug. Let's say I eat chaza. So how much chaza do you have to eat in order to get malchus? So that's Mishneh Makkah, says you have to eat a kazayis. One Tana, Reb Shimon Vaychoy is of the opinion, Kol Shehula Malkus, you only have to eat a kazayas in order to be chay v'chatas. How much chaylev do you have to eat b'shoigeg to be chay v'chatas kazayas? How much dam do you have to swallow b'shoigeg to be chay v'chatas a kazayas? But if you violate Aver b'mezitz, Reb Shimon is of the opinion, Kol Shehula Malkus. Lama kazayas ha'ele linya chatas bovak. We don't pass like that. We pass in order to get Malkus, you have to eat a kazayas, unless it's a barrier. Let's say you swallow a bug. So the whole bug is a treifa bug. There are kosher bugs, there are treifa bugs. So if you eat a treifa bug, so you chayev malchus, even if it's less than a kazayas. And over here, Eved Menachai should have also been a barrier. You have Basa Gidin Batzamas, Hadavisham should have been a barrier. So the Gemara said, an Amon Aleph, no. And they tried to slug it up, and they said, no, they finally brought a raya that it is correct, that in order to get malchus for eating Eved Menachai, even though it's a barrier, you still need a kazayas. So that's what he says over here. If you cut the Eved Menachai before you put it in your mouth, for sure it's not a barrier. So you're not chayiv malchus. If you chewed it up with your teeth before you put it in your mouth when it's a davar shalom, and you chewed it and you broke it up in your mouth and then you swallow a little at a time, so Reb Reichen holds chayiv harinene grana b'kazayis. He swallowed the whole kazayis. He swallowed the whole Eved Menachai. That's the normal way to eat it. Yeah, tuk de achilas pras, so you're chayv. And Rish Lakish says, no, it's not good enough tuk de achilas pras is if you're eating chaza, you're eating nevela trefa, you're eating food that's edible. Here you're eating basa, gid, and etzem. So etzem is not normal to eat a bone. And gid is also not normal. Gid doesn't taste good. Basa. But the basa doesn't have a kazayis. You have basa, gid, and etzem all together and has a kazayis. So here it's a chidush that you're chayv malchus for eating a gid and an etzem. So the chiddush only applies if you swallow it bevasachas. If you swallow bezeh hazeh, if chol can be bifneim, and then you swallow, so Rish Lakish holds that you put. Rish Lakish am put, why? Because achilah b'meir binan t'velekel. Yeah, you have to, it's not exactly achilah b'meir, but in the stomach lands, the end, it is going to land in the stomach, but he it's not a barrier at the time that he swallowed. Frag the Gemara, Ella the Rish Lakish, Eichem Ashkachas Vladimachai. How is it ever possible? How is it humanly possible? Eved Menachai. What's an Eved Menachai? A whole finger. How can you swallow such a thing? And for the Gemara, yeah, why not? Let's say, my thumb. This is one Eved, this is another Eved. This finger. This is one Eved, another Eved. Every time there's another bone. And there's a gid. I don't even know if there's a gid here. If you have here's a whole bone and there's a little basa here. So if there's a gid here, so every part of every bone is considered Eved Menachai. So that's possible to swallow such a thing. So the Gemara says, according to Rish Lakish, that if you chew it up in your mouth and then you swallow, say not chayv, you have to swallow it when it's bishle muso. So the Gemara says, how is it ever possible to get malchus for eating Eved Menachai? After the Gemara, bigru maisa zeherta, if it's a tiny bone, why not? There are tiny bones in every organism. In the human body, there are tiny bones. So you swallow an eva, that's bishlei muso. Here Tosis discusses, how much can you swallow down your throat by vasachas? So if you chew everything up and it's all granulated, then you can swallow more. But you didn't chew it up. How big a chunk can you swallow? So Tosis quotes the Gemaris. Here Tosis quotes, Yuma daf pei. The Gemara says, the beis habliyah is machzik, a kebetza. You can swallow, let's say, a hard-boiled egg. It's humanly possible to swallow a hard-boiled egg without chewing it up. Maybe our eggs are large-sized eggs. Beitza, the Gemara talks about beitza benin. It's like slightly smaller than our eggs are big eggs. It's the average-sized beitza benin is, we never see them because they make mayonnaise out of that. So that's in the industry. Or they crack open all the eggs and they sell it to bakers or they sell it to restaurants. They're all cracked open. We only see the eggs that are large size eggs. So beitza beninus, the Gemara says, it's possible, humanly possible to swallow. There are different shiurim. There's kezayas, there's kebeitza, there's kegregris. Different dinim have different shiurim. So that's unclear. What is the ratio between these different shiurim? So let's say, what's the ratio between kezayas and kebeitza? A kezayis is clearly less than a kebeitza. So how many kezayisim are there in a beitza beninus? Talking about a zayis beninus. It's hard to tell which is a zayis benini, what's a beitza beninus. And Shulchan Aruch, they quote, that's a machlekes harishonim. Are there two kezayisim in a kebeitza, or are there three kezayisim in a beitza? And then there's a shir kigregeris. A gregeris is what? It's a dried out fig, I think. So how many gregeris are there? So the Gemara says in Erevin, let's say you have an apartment building with 100 apartments. So, and the whole apartment building has walls around it. So, I mean, Atar, the whole thing is one big Rishus Sayochet, so you're allowed to carry in the apartment building. And Shlaima Melech, we learned the second Perek in Erevin years ago. So the Shlaima Melech made a Gzer de Rabbanon that even though in Atar to Rishus Sayochet, there's such a thing as a Rishus Sayochet with an Issa Tiltal. On the level of the Raisa, the concept doesn't exist. What do you mean Rishus Sayochet with an Issa Tiltal? And Rishus Sarabi, you're not allowed to carry. Rishus Sayochet, by definition, you're allowed to carry. So Shlomo HaMelech made a new animal, a new thing, a Rishus Sayochet with an Issa Tiltal, and you need an Eruv Chatzeris. So what is accomplished by Eruv Chatzeris? So let's say you have the 100 apartments and they're all Shomer Shabbos, so they're going to put a box of matzahs, let's say, in one apartment. So the people who live in that one apartment, apartment 1A, they live there on Derech HaPshat. They really live there. The other 99 families have to put a challah there. So if they leave a challah, it's considered as if they live there. So now all 100 families live there. The one family really lives there in actuality. The other 99, because they left food there, so it's considered as if they live there. So, and you have to put all of these challahs. Everybody has to give a challah shleima. The Gemara says a complete challah, a little bulkala, a little roll. That should be shleima. Why? Gemara says that's the way they made the takana, because otherwise it's going to be machlokes. Someone's going to say, why did I have to give a shleima? The other guy only gave a slice. They made a takana, everybody has to give a shleima. So you have to have 99 chalas. You have to have it, and you have to put it in one container. If the container is full, then you can put the leftovers in another container. But you're going to have a gigantic plastic bag, and you're going to have 99 chalas. It's going to be a pain in the neck. So what we do is we streamline it. So instead of using challahs, we use matzahs. So the matzahs don't get stale so quickly. So you put away the erev before Pesach. Pesach tikka matzahs. And unless till next Pesach, then you use new matzahs so these matzahs won't get stale. So eat the old matzahs and then you use the new matzahs for the erev. And then the Gemara says instead of each one of the 99 tenants and the 99 apartments giving another matzah, the Gemara says you don't have to do like that. The Mishnah in Erevin says let one person go to the grocery store, buy a box of matzahs, and give it to someone else to pick up a tefach, and be kaina azach le'adam shleim b'fana. It'll be kaina shutus for all the Shomer Shabbos who live here in the building now. Whoever's going to move until next Pesach, and everybody's kaina shutus. So the Gemara says if you have 18 or less other families, you can have 19 families. The family who lives in the apartment where you leave the box of matzah doesn't have to participate in the Erev, because they live there, in reality. And the other 18, if there are 18 other families or less, then each family has to have a shir kigregris. In gregeris is a dried out fig. Each family has to have a shir kigregris. So let's say you have 15 additions, there are 16 apartments. So one apartment you're going to put the Erev, so you need 15 gregeris in the box of matzahs. Let's say you have 100 families, another 99 families in the building. So the Gemara says you never need more than 18 gregeris. And the Shulchan Aruch, they say the 18 gregeris is equivalent to 6 beitzim. So let's say if you have a box of matzahs, you can fit in 6 eggs in a box of matzahs. They're empty spaces there, but in the stomach there is the volume of all of the matzahs together is 6 beitzim, and the Gemara seems to say 6 beitzim is the equivalent of 18 gregeris. That's the maximum. You never need more than 18 gregeris. So it seems from the Gemara that there are 3 gregeris in every kebeitzah. So and then in Shulchan Aruch there's a machlokes harishayim. How many kezeisim are there in a beitzah? Are there 2 in a beitzah, or are there 3? So if there are 3 in a kebeitzah and there are 3 gregeris in a beitzah, so gregeris is the same thing as a kezayis. So how come the Gemara sometimes says a shir zayis, sometimes a shir gregeris? So the pashtus is like the Rishonim who say that there are 2 kezayisim in a beitzah, and a kezayis is slightly bigger than a gregeris. A kezayis is a half a beitzah, and a gregeris is a shlish beitzah. That's, I think, they quote from the Vilna Gaon. He said like that a kezayis is bigger than a gregeris. Here Tosfos says fakir. Here Tosfos says Grogeris is bigger than a kazayas, as it says in Perek HaMatzniyah. That's a pella. What do you mean? How can it be that it's bigger? The Gemara says at Ervin, there are 18 grogeris is the equivalent of 6 kibetzim. I don't know. I looked in the back. Nobody discusses this tesis. That's a big question. What's the ratio between grogeris and they can't be identical. A kazayas can't be the same as grogeris. Otherwise, why did the Gemara use different lashonas? Sometimes the shear is yet. I don't know. The Pashta says that, like the Vilna Gaon, the quote from the Vilna Gaon, that Kazayas is bigger than a Grogeris. There are 2 Kazayasim in a Beitz, and there are 3 Grogeris in a Kibetz. And a Kazayas is slightly bigger than a Grogeris. Anyway, it's not too Nagir to Argimar. So the Gemara says, the original version was that Rish Lakish says to Rabbi Yechanan, what's the din if you cut the Yevim Menachai before you eat it? So Rabbi Yechanan made a distinction. Did you cut it before you put it in your mouth, then it doesn't have a din of a barrier. Barrier is only when it's bishle musa. But if you put it in your mouth, shalom, and then you chew it up before you swallow, that's okay, you chayv. And the second version was, that's what Rabbi Yechanan said, and Rish Lakish disagreed, and he held that if you chew it up before you swallow, you're not chayv. So hechem ashkachas lo the Gemara says, when are you ever chayv, arev menachai? Only if it's a tiny thing, which is possible. Bigromisa. Gromisa means a bone. Garmi, a bone. Bigromisa is a erita. Zerita means tiny, a tiny bone. You have an Eibmanachai, a tiny thing. It has to be a kazayis. But you can swallow a kazayis. The base of li is machzik a kebetza. So a kazayis is less than a kebetza, either a third of a betza or a half of a betza.
You also have the gid, you also have the etzim together. Also, that's
not too. Altogether, it's the volume of a kazayis.
That's not too tasty. I mean, a bone and a gid to swallow it.
Yeah? Normally, you chew things up. If you're eating Cheerios for breakfast, you have to chew the Cheerios. They're so small. You're not going to choke on a Cheerio. So how big can the Cheerios be that you can swallow? So Tosafot quotes the Gemara, kibetza. You can swallow a hard-boiled egg in one time without chewing it and without choking. That's what it says. See, there's a question. Hillel used to make a sem. Hillel HaYikarach. There are 2 girsas. The Rambam's girsa. The Hillel HaYikarach. Matzah umar ve'echol biyachad. He didn't eat Pesach, matzah, umar, all 3 together. He ate the Pesach separately, and the matzah umar he used to eat together. But other Rishonim have the girsa, and that's of the Farish Yerushalmi and Maseches Challah against the Raman. The Yerushalmi is that he ate all 3 together, Pesach, matzah, umar. So if he had a kezayis of Pesach, kezayis of matzah, kezayis of umar, so 3 kezayisim, and if you should assume there are 2 kezayisim in a kibetza, and the base I believe can only be machzik a kibetza. So how did he swallow all 3 together? That's what the Mordechai has that kasha. Mordechai on the last page in Pesachim quotes that kasha from the Balei HaTosafot. How can Hillel possibly swallow kazayis Pesach matzah maror if there are 2 kizaisim in a kibetza? And the Gemara says that the base Abliya, the Gemara says in Yuma Daf Pei, the base Abliya can only machzik a kibetza bevasachas. Oh, so the Mordechai answers, he chewed it up before he swallowed. So then you can even swallow a beitza and a half. You can even swallow 3 kazayis. So the Magen Avraham quotes, the Trumas Hadeshen quoted this Mordechai, and he was bothered with Akasha. What's the problem? You eat a little bit now, you swallow, you eat a little bit later, you swallow, you eat a little bit later, and swallow. Who says you have to swallow the Pesach Matzah Mor Bevasachas? Eat a little bit at a time, and then as long as it's tekadachilas pras, within a short period of time, everything is mitzdarf. So what was the whole kasha in the first place? So the Trumas Hadeshen was medayik from the whole discussion that the Mordechai has on the last page in Psochim. And the Mordechai, you see that it's lechatchila, more correct is to swallow bevasachas. Whatever you're eating, you should swallow bevasachas. You should never really pause in the middle. Lechatchila, the mitzvah bishlei musa, is to swallow the whole kezayis b'vasachas. That's why the Mordechai had a problem. How can you swallow Pesach matzah mar 3 kezayis b'vasachas? Beis Avli is only machzik 2 kezayis b'vasachas. And they quote B'shem Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that he dingzach with the Trumas Hadeshen. He said that's not a kasha. There is no Rav Chaim thought there is no such thing that l'chatchila you have to eat the kezayis of korban Pesach b'bli achas. He thought it didn't make sense. You can eat a little bit at a time as long as you don't pause too long. You shouldn't pause more than k'dok de'achilas pras. But that din, that if you eat something k'dok de'achilas pras, everything is mitztarev, That's if you're eating a lot of matzah, so it's mitzvah. If you eat a lot of morah, tok da'achilas pa'mitzvah. But matzah and morah should be mitzvah with each other. There is no din of tok da'achilas pras. Halacha l'moshe misina of tok da'achilas pras is matzah is mitzvah of tok da'achilas pras. Gazayis of Korban Pesach has been stopped to Achilas Pras. The Mordechai's problem was Hillel ate all three together. He wanted to have a tzirup between the Pesach Matzah Umaror. So there is no halacha l'moshe misina that you can be mitzarev to Achilas Pras the matzah with the mor with the Korban Pesach. So there he felt you have to swallow the bliachas. But if you're not talking about Hillel, then bechalal there is no such din that l'chatchila. It's preferable to swallow the bliachas. That's what they call it. Prime. It's a gedungen with the Trumas Adeshin's Raif and the Mordechai. Yeah. Anyway, that's the Gemara. So Reb Loza was also a Talmud. There was a Tana Reb Loza, there was an Amora Reb Eleazar, there was an Amora Reb Loza, who was a Talmud of Reb Yechon also, like Rish Lakish was a Talmud of Reb Yechon. Reb Loza is also a Talmud. Reb Yechon Amar, here's a Reb Loza Amar, he disagrees with everybody. He disagrees with the major premise of Reb Yechon. Afil cholchem ibachutz namichayim. If you have an Eiv Menachai and you cut it and you put it in your mouth and you swallow a little at a time, even if it wasn't Shalom when you put it in your mouth, also Chayiv. Why? That doesn't bother me. I cut it in half before I put it in my mouth. That's not a problem. All you have to do is, you just cut it in half. You can hold it together. Two pieces, you can hold it together. It still has the din of Eiv Menachai, even though you cut it before you put it in your mouth. So that for sure we don't accept. That's a shiloh, okay. A shiloh, whether we pass like that, yeah. Okay.
It looks like we have a little base there. It looks like it is.
Yeah. I didn't look it up, but my impression was that we don't pass. Okay, I didn't look it up. Got to take a look how we pass.
Would you have to have Basid Gidin and Asamos in each piece? Or even if you had the Basar followed by the Etzem and followed by the Gidin according to this position?
I mean, according to Rab Chaim's idea that you cannot be Mitzaref different things together, Tok Achilas Pras, only the same thing. Chaza with Chaza, Nevela, Basa B'cholov with Basa B'cholov. Can't be Mitzarif a Basa with a Gid with an Etzim together. Yeah, here, he cut it, he chopped it up before he put it in his mouth, then he put it in his mouth, he chews it all together, then he eats it. And I don't know if it's necessarily the same. I don't know if it's the same as Rab Chaim said over there, by the Pesach and the Matzah and the Mor, the Shir Tok Achilas Pras doesn't apply. It's not the same as over here. It's all Eiv Menachai. The whole thing is Eiv Menachai.
I'm speaking more of a Shir Nekuda versus a Shir Mitzarev. That that's why if you separated, you wouldn't be able to combine.
Right, that's what they both. That's what Rabbi Yechon and Shlokish both held before. If you cut it before you put it in your mouth, it's not called an Eiv Menachai at all by definition. If you put it in your mouth Shalom and then you chew it. So Rabbi Yechon said that's normal. That's what everybody does. You put food in your mouth and then you chew it.
But they arguing before that each half of Gzai's had Basa Gidin Vat Samas, and it was because it was a Chatzi Shir. That's what, like Rashi wrote, it wasn't a full Shir that it could have had the Basa Gidin Vat Samas. But if you separated it, then maybe they would not have argued.
Possible. That's a serious question. I don't know. I didn't look in the Rishonim. I don't know. So Rav Loza disagrees with the whole premise of Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish. Okay. Now there's a new discussion, a new Gemara. Let's say, now we're not, the rest of the Gemara is not talking about eating Eiv Menachai. Let's say a person eats Chaza. So how much Chaza does he have to eat in order to get Malkus, a Kazayis Chaza? What if he has a Kazayis Chaza and he eats and he swallows, but some of the Chaza gets caught in between his teeth? So we know for sure that he didn't swallow the full Kazayis. He had a Kazayis when he put it in his mouth, but then some of it gets caught in the teeth. So is that mitztarif to the Shir, the chaza that he didn't swallow? It's still in his mouth. He never swallowed it. So first the Gemara says, Omer Reish Lakish, Kazayis she'omru, chutz mishal ben hashinayim. Whatever is caught in between the teeth doesn't count. I would have said like that also. He didn't swallow. You have to swallow it basically. Rabbi Yechonah disagrees, afen ben hashinayim. Since when he put it in his mouth, there was a kazayis. That's the way people eat. Some of the food remains caught in the teeth. So Rabbi Yechonah, the first version of the machlekes is that the basa shebein hashinayim is mitztarif to the shir kazayis, even though he clearly never swallowed it. It remains in his teeth. Amar apapa, that's not correct. That's where someone came from Eretz Yisrael. They said over there was such a machlekes of Rabbi Yechonah Rish Lakish. So apapa lives in Bavli, says, das ken izayin. that the flesh that's caught in the teeth doesn't count at all. What do you mean? There's no issa to tickle chaza. There's no issa to put it in your mouth. The issa is to swallow it. If you don't swallow it, so you didn't violate the avera. So Rapap says, it doesn't count for the shir kezayis. Keep pligi. True. There was a machlek zabiachem eshlokish, but their machlek was ben achanichayim. A lot of times you eat food and something gets caught in the gums and it stays there for a while. You'll probably swallow it after a half an hour. You won't swallow tachilas pras, but it'll be caught in the gums and it'll be giving you the flavor. You will have had a hanoa of eating a kezayis of trefa chaza, because whatever the basar sheben achanichayim, that will remain and give you flavor. So that was a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish. Mar Sovar, Rabbi Yochanan thinks that Yechayv Harinena grown up b'kezayis, even though he never swallowed the full kezayis, but his throat got hanor from the full kezayis. Mar Sovar, and Mishlokish disagrees, no, you need achila b'me'abin, it has to land in your stomach. So whatever is caught in between the teeth, or whatever is caught in the gums, is not mitztarf to the kezayis.
Isn't there one thing also with, I think it was waiting at the bus of Kola about the reason about the Bein HaShinayim also counts, that's why you have to wait.
The reason why the minig is that you wait 6 hours, yes.
So what's the relationship? In other words, it has some kind of effect, Bein HaShinayim.
He still has the flavor of the flesh because of the bus of Shabbat HaShinayim, yeah.
So that would have that different with Rapapa.
No, that's a question. There's a minik to wait 6 hours. Minatara, basa b'chalav is only usher if they were cooked together. If they weren't cooked together, there's no issa basa b'chalav. If you eat flesh and meat together, you have a sandwich. You put in cheese and you put in salami. So minatara, there's no issa because they weren't cooked together. Derech pishul asetara. With the rabbanim, you're not allowed to eat it together. So then the Zohar says, in Shulchan Aruch, they quote, the Zohar says, you're not allowed to eat b'shaita chada within 1 hour. If you had fleshiks first and milchiks, but it doesn't matter which you had first. You're not allowed to have fleshiks and milchiks within 1 hour. In Nigla, it doesn't say like that. In Nigla, just says if you had fleshiks, you shouldn't have milchiks soon after. Milchiks sounds like you can have fleshiks right away after. So that's a shayla on Shavuos. A lot of people, Ramah writes, a lot of people have a minig on Shavuos that they have milchiks and fleshiks in the same meal. You have first the milchiks. If you have the fleshiks first, then you got to wait 6 hours. So you can't have them in the same meal. If you have first milchiks, and then you brush your teeth, or you chew some challah, and you get all the cheese out from in between the teeth, so then you can eat the fleshiks in the same meal. So that's a shayla that Melamed Lehoil has a discussion, other posts can have. Is it permissible to bench and to wait a while before you start eating the flesh later on, to wait an hour, or is that called Garim Bracha Sheinet Tzvicha? Because according to the Gemara, according to the Nigla, there is no such din, there is no such minig. You don't have to wait anything. You can eat in the same meal. The Zohar says you're not allowed to have flesh and milk in the same meal. You're not allowed to have B'shayt Tachad in the same hour. That's the question, whether B'shayt Tachad means the same time, or Sho'a means an hour. That's also a question. Maybe you try to chada means bevasachas, but it's also you shouldn't have it in the same meal. The Zohar says it also shouldn't have milk in the same meal. So the post can have a discussion: is that considered garen brachas and tzvicha? I want to be choshish for the Zohar. So is that a violation according to the Nigla? Maybe I'm a violation of garen brachas and tzvicha because medina digmar there was no need to bench and to wash all over again to start another meal to have the fleshiks, but have the fleshiks in the same meal. So that's different opinions about that. Yeah.
Then he'd have to continue eating otherwise, he'd be able to bench anyhow. If he ate his milchiks, now what's he going to do until an hour later for his fleshiks?
Okay. Well, that's the shaila. According to the nigla, you can continue right away. You can eat the fleshiks right away. So that's the shaila. Yeah. So 1 hour, some say that's waiting 6 hours, that's only a minute. The Gemara says one of the Amorim. We learned it in Kolobosa. One of the Amorim says, how do I compare to my father? I'm vinegar compared to my father was wine. My father, when he would eat fleshiks, he would wait 24 hours till he ate milchiks, and I only wait from one meal to the other, which the Rambam says, kemoshe shor, it's about 6 hours. So the 6 hours is only a minig. 1 hour may be a din, based on that Zohar that in Shulchan Aruch they quote. But 6 hours, that's only a minig. So that's why the Chasam Sofer is quoted on the bottom of the page in the big Shulchan Aruch. They quote the Jewish Chasam Sofer. He says if a person has a slight ache and pain and he needs to drink some milk within 6 hours, you don't have to be machmer. He's not even a chayav l'shem sakan. He's just a little bit mitztayer. Years ago, when people had ulcers, so they used to think that drinking milk is going to solve the problem. Then they realized it doesn't help. It's all above a ma'aser. But years ago, they used to drink milk. So that's a shah. The guy is fleshing and he has to wait 6 hours and he wants to drink milk because he has a little pain from the ulcers. It doesn't prevent him from functioning normally. He's not considered chayav l'shem sakan. So the Chasam Sofer makes the distinction. To eat basa b'chalav deraisa that was cooked together, that's only mutaf yachol l'sheyesh b'sakon. Bikoch nefesh z'decha kol ha'tar kula. To eat flesh and milk within an hour, that's really an isa derabbanan. It could be according to the Zohar. So for that, you have to be yachol l'sheyesh b'sakon. You have to have such aches and pains that it prevents you from functioning normally. But after the first hour is up, you have to wait another 5 hours till the 6 hours. So that's only a minig. So to violate a minig, you don't even have to be a chayav l'shem b'sakan, as long as there's a little bit stire. So then we would be mekel. So there, the Rishonim give the two reasons. What is the minig to wait 6 hours based on? So some say because of the basar shebein hashinayim, and it's the Gemara quotes, and it's considered basar because the pasuk says in Chumash when they ate the slav, a basar adena ben shenayim, and then there was a magef in the arm because they were requesting flesh, and there was nothing wrong with the man; they shouldn't have complained. So the pasuk says, "Habasar adena ben shenayim." So you see, the basar shemen hashenayim is still considered basar. So that's what some rishonim say. That's the reason. That's based on the Gemara. That's the reason why you have to wait 6 hours. But here he's talking about a different thing. Here he's talking about a real din deraisa. That's talking about a minute to wait 6 hours. This is a real din deraisa. The flesh that he didn't, the chazer that he didn't swallow, but it got caught ben hashenayim. Is that mitzaref to the shir kizayis? So a papa says, "No, it can't be." There never was a machlokes on that. The machlokes only was basar shebein hashenayim. Okay. Then they have Rav Ami and Rav Asi. Tosis points out there were four people. There was Rebbe Ami and Rebbe Asi. Both lived in Eretz Yisrael. They had smicha. You can only confer smicha in Eretz Yisrael. So Rebbe Ami and Rebbe Asi means they had smicha. They were students of Rav Yochanan. Then there were two friends in Bavel who didn't have any smicha. They were reverends. There was Rav Ami and Rav Asi. You can't call them Rebbe Ami and Rav Asi. So that's what Tosis says. These were four different people. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi were friends who lived in Eretz Yisrael and learned by Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Ami and Rav Asi, at the same time, they lived in Bavel. So we had before, Rabbi Elazar was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, and he disagreed. Rish Lakish was a Talmud, and he disagreed. Here you have, Rav Asi is saying over in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. He was another Talmud. Omer Rav Asi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, he says over in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and din, Ochel Chatzi Zayis, Itzel Chatzi Zayis of Chazer. We're not talking anymore about the Eid Menachai. Person eats a chasid zayis of chazer, the hikil, then he throws it up. Because of a yachal chasid zayis acher, then he eats another half of zayis, turk de achilas pras, is it mitztaref or not? Let's say a person carries on Shabbos. You're not allowed to carry in Nusha Saram on Shabbos. So the person carries something that's of insignificant size. So you have Mishnayos, 2.5 prokim in Masech Shabbos. The prohibition of Hoitzor is only Chayiv Oynesh on Shabbos if he carry a kashir. So if he carrying food, the shir is Kigra Geris. If it's Michael for elephants, it's a different shir. If it's Michael for chickens, it's a different shir. And if it's wood, it's a different shir. And if it's metal, a different shir. And if it's plastic, a different shir. And if it's stones, every Mishnah has, whatever you're carrying has that different shir, how much you have to carry, in order that it should be a full malacha. So the Gemara has, What if you carried some food, a small amount of food, and you put it in the Rishus HaRabbim? But it's a chatzi shir. And then an animal comes and eats it up. Or you eat it up. And then you carry another chatzi shir. So at the time that you carry the second chatzi shir, the first chatzi shir is gone already. It was nisraf, or it's nechel, or chala hakelev, it's gone already. So then the Gemara says the second chatzi shir is not mitzarf with the first. If you would carry a half a grape in the street, then you leave it, then you carry another half a grape, and it all piles up, even though you didn't carry it to Vasachas, it's all mitztaref yachad. But if the first chatzishir was nechal on Isra before you carried the second one, then it's not mitzvah. So the shayla is, what about over here? The person swallowed a chatzishir of treif for food, and then he throws it up. And then he eats another chatzishir, terkede achilas pras. But in his stomach, all you have is a chatzishir, because he already threw up the first chatzishir before he ate the second chatzishir. So that's a machlekes. So Amar Abasi, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, the Talmud says the name of the Rebbe, Ochel chatzi zayis of chazav v'hikio, and he vomits it up. V'chazav yochel chatzi zayis acher, then eats another chatzi zayis, chayiv, it is mitzdarev. What do you mean mitzdarev? But in the stomach, you don't have a full kazayis in the stomach, the first half of kazayis, this bit, my timer, because it doesn't depend on hanoas meyov, it depends on hanoas grono. And the base of liya by the throat, he swallowed a full because my time are in enegrona because I, let's say a person is taking what do you call it, a person can't eat, so they have a feeding tube and the food goes in directly into the stomach, or they put intravenous, it goes into the blood system, so that can be chazer is mutabano, it's only osa b'achila. Or let's say on Yom Kippur you're not allowed to eat. Not allowed to eat, but that's not called eating. If it enters into this body, enters into the stomach any other way other than the base of liya, that's not called achila. If you have basal b'cholov, you have intravenous, that's also b'hanoah. If you have a feeding tube and you're putting in isuri hanoah, so you're getting hanoah from it. So also b'hanoah, you're not allowed yet. But if it's only also b'achila, muta b'hanoah, so then if it doesn't go through the goren, so it's not called achila. But the shayla is, where do you need the shear? If it doesn't go through the Beis Abliya, it's not called Achila. If it does go through the Beis Abliya, does it depend on a kazayis and the stomach, landing in the stomach? So if he threw up the first half of kazayis before he eats the second half of kazayis, it won't be mitzdarf yachad. So Rabbi Yassi, the Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan, quotes the name Rabbi Yechanan, that it depends on Hanoas HaGoren. So Rabbi Yassi was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Loza was also a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. Boy, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Asi, they were contemporaries. So Rabbi Lozer, a Talmud or Rabbi Yechon, asked of Rabbi Asi, what's the din? Not that he ate a chatzi zayis of chaza and he throws it up, and then he eats a different chatzi zayis. What if he threw up the chatzi zayis, then he swallows that again? So it depends, what does it look like? If the enzymes already did a job on it, and it's awful, so it's nifsam achila. So if you eat tray for food that's not royal achila, so that's mutter. That's mutter. It's awesome at the Rabbanan, but in the Torah, it's mutter. If they think most of the pills, if you have trefa pills, let's say you have liver pills or something. So liver comes from nevela, from trefa animals. So most of the pills are nifsa me'achilav. So there's no isa deraisa for sure. There's a machlekes, the Rosh and the Ramban. Let's say I have a piece of meat and I left it out of the refrigerator for a month, and it's masriach and it's awful, and if you eat it you're going to get an upset stomach. So in our Torah there's no Yisra Achila. The Gemara learns it off in the Pasuk because it says the Chumash, what do you do if you have Nevelu Trefa? So it says Lagera Shavashracha Tetnana Bachola, give it to a guy, sell it to a guy, give it to a guy. So the Gemara understands it's only has an Yisra Nevelu calls man it's Haroi Lachilas Ager. Ager means Ager Toshav, not Ager. Ager who converts a Jewish, he can't eat Chaza, he can't eat Trefas. But if it's Ager Toshav, Gertosha means a Nochri who committed himself in the presence of the Bezna of three Jews to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch. So that's a Gertosha. Why is he called the Gertosha? Because we may not permit non-Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael unless they commit themselves, unless they are Gertosha. So then Imcha Yesha Bikir Becha, then we allow him to live in Eretz Yisrael, then it's called the Gertosha. He may live in Eretz Yisrael, but if he's a Nochri who didn't commit himself, Nishken Gertosha, then you're not permitted. If the Jews have full control over Eretz Yisrael, the government now doesn't have full control. They're going to say, we don't allow any non-Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael. The United Nations close them down. They don't have control of Eretz Yisrael. They can't do that. And today, you can't have any Ger Toshav. The Gemara says, you can only be Mekabel of Ger Toshav Bizman Shayavol Noi. Bizman Shayna Yavol Noi, there's no din of Ger Toshav. So the Rambam writes that din. Bizman said there's no Ger Toshav. Can't have a Ger Toshav. Rav Kook wrote a whole sefer on Shabbos Ha'aretz, the laws of Shemitah. He did a lot of work on Shemitah. So in the Sefer, they did the Hetta Mechira. What happened was when they first started the colonies in the late 1800s, so the first Shemitah, Maskeret Batya. It was sponsored by Baron Rothschild. Baron Rothschild put up all the money for, I think, 11 religious families to move to Eretz Yisrael. So they had a shiloh. What do they do? But in Kam Shemitah, are they going to? They had a farm. What are they going to do? So the Badats, the Bez Din in Yerushalayim, told them they shouldn't rely on any kulas. They shouldn't plant anything. So the first Shemitah that they had, they didn't rely on any kulas. And the Rabbanim in Europe, who organized the whole trip to Eretz Yisrael, they were the ones who spoke to Baron Rothschild. He paid for it. So they recommended to them that they should rely on the Heta Mechira. They should sell the land to Nochri. The Heta Mechira was worked on by the Svadish Yigdolim in the 1600s. It wasn't developed in the late 1800s. It's from the 1600s. And when they said to Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan that he should sign on to the Heta, so he said, show me the sefer where it's printed. He didn't trust them. So they took it out from a library and they sent it to Rabbi Yitzchak. He lived in Kovna. He saw it inside, and then he sent it back, and okay, he said, that's what it says in the Sefer. He didn't trust anybody. He wanted to see the Sefer itself. So he signed on to the Hetem. But the Rabbanim in Europe, who sponsored this whole Yishuv, this Maskeret Batya, Batya was the name of Baron Rothschild's mother. Her name was Beatrice. And her Yiddish name was Batya. So he was so impressed, Rothschild, when he visited the Yishuv, was so impressed by these from the Balabatim. They davened every day with Talis and Tefillin. They would sit and learn every day. And then they did work all day long. And then they came and they davened Mincha Ma'ariv and they learned. He was so impressed. So he gave them permission to name the Moshav after his mother, Maskeret Batya, in memory of his mother, Batya. So then, when it came Shemitah, so they already had a psak from the Rabbanim, from the Badats, that they shouldn't rely on any Kulas. Rabbanim in Europe didn't realize that. So they sent them letters. We worked out a heta. You should sell the land to the goy. But they already had this psak from the badats that they shouldn't. So they didn't. And then Rothschild was very upset that they're losing a fortune of money. They weren't producing any payers. So they had nothing to sell. They were living off of charity. So he was very upset. So he used to pay for the doctor. The doctor used to come all the time to make sure that the children are healthy and to make sure the behemoths are healthy. So when it came Shemitah, he was very upset why they didn't follow the kula that the Rabbanim, that the Gedolim in Europe recommended. They couldn't, because they already had a psak from the Badats that they shouldn't. So some of the behemoths died, unfortunately some of the children died during that Shemitah year. So the Badats told them, next Shemitah, go for the Heta Mechira, because it's just not going to work. You can't be machmah on everything. But they said, we don't want to be metapa, we don't want to make the Heta Mechira. Go to the Rav in Yafo. The Rav in Yafo was a Talmid Chacham, so he made the Heta Mechira. So when that Rav passed away, and then they took Rav Kook to come from Europe, that was part of the job. That was part of like in Young Israel Flatbush. The rabbi in Young Israel Flatbush is the one who made the Erev in Flatbush. So when he retired and he went to Eretz Yisrael, so the new rabbi who took over the Young Israel of Flatbush, that's part of his job. He has to supervise the Erev in Flatbush or the Jewish Center. Under Dr. Lim, they made an Erev in Manhattan. So after Dr. Lim left the shul, so that's part of the job description. Whoever takes over the shul of the Jewish Center has to supervise the Manhattan Erev. That's part of the job description. The description. Rav Kook wasn't the originator of the Heta Mechira. It was originated in the 1600s. And then when they had it, the Rav in Yafo is the one. And the Badats told the Balabatim from this Keila, from Maskeret Batya, they should go to the Rav in Yafo, he'll make you a Heta Mechira. And he did. So when he passed away and Rav Kook came, that was part of the job description. He has to supervise the Heta Mechira. Yeah. So Rav Kook has... There's a shaila, there's a pasuk in Chumash that says, Lo sechonem. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to be Zainumas there, who are over the Avodah Zarah. So the Torah says, Lo sechonem. How do you translate the word? So the Gemara has three different interpretations, and we accept all three levels of interpretation. So one is, Lo sechonem mi loshen chanoya, lo sitan lahem chanoya bikarka. You're not permitted to allow non-Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael. You're not permitted to sell a farm to a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael. Then there's another level of interpretation. Miloshen chinam. You're not allowed to give a matnas chinam to a nochri. Then the third level of interpretation. Miloshen chen. Lo yisul chen ve'enechem. You're not allowed to praise a nochri. So the shaila was, how can you have a heta mechira? How can you have a heta mechira? You're selling the karka and eretz yisrael to a nochri. So there's no heta. So many gedolim came up with a kulas. Many gedolim, you all explain why there's room to be makel over here. So Rav Kook writes in his Sefer Shabbos HaAretz that one of his dayanim on the Beis Din in Yafo came up with an einfal: sell the farms in Eretz Yisrael to a Nachri who is a Ger Toshav. So Ger Toshav says, Imcha Yesh Bikebecha, you're not in violation of Loisachonim. If you sell to a Ger Toshav, there's no issa. Yeah, but there's no Ger Toshav Bizman, and Ger Toshav Noi Gala Bizman Shal Yevon Noi. So he quotes, Rav Kook quotes from somebody on his Beis Din, the name didn't strike a bell by me, but he must have been some big Talmid Chacham. He says this member of his Beis Din Yafo had a suggestion. When do you say you can't be mekabel a mekabel ger toshav? This man is saying you can only be mekabel ger toshav is man shayovel noy. That's if you have to interrogate the person and decide whether you want to accept him as a ger toshav. But he said the Muslims, we all know what they stand for. They all officially subscribe to the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch. They agree that you're not allowed to eat Eiv Menachai. They all say you're not allowed to do Gezel, you're not allowed to violate Gili Arayis. Whether they observe it or not is questionable. But they all subscribe to the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch. So that was the Chiddush that he had, that maybe a Muslim is different from a Christian. A Christian is an Eved Avodah Zarah. He's worshipping Osa Ho'ish. So if a Christian wants to become a Ger Toshav, you have to be Mekabel him. You have to interrogate him to see did he reject his emunah in Avodah Zarah. So that's a mekabel ger toshav bizman she'enei avel noy. But the Muslims, maybe it's mekubal v'yomid, maybe you don't need a Kabbalah. Maybe they all have a dinner ger toshav without having any Kabbalah. So that was the Chiddush that Rav Kook introduced because of his dayan. Instead of selling to a Christian, they would sell dafka to a Muslim. Maybe the Muslims, you don't need the heter of the avdina. You don't need any heter. Every 7 years, they always improved the Hetter Mechira. They always introduced new chumras. So that was one of the chumras that he introduced. Yeah, but then the shaila is, if the Muslims have a din of Ger Toshav, because they're Mekubal V'yomid, so then you can't use a Muslim as a Shabbos guy. Because there's a pasuk in Aseres Adibis that says, Al-Saska Malocha Ato V'inchavitech B'gercha Hashem B'sharecha. So what does it mean, Gercha Hashem B'sharecha? If he's a Ger Tzedek, so he's Ato, he's included in Ato. So Ger Hashem B'sharecha means a Ger Toshav. So what does it mean, a Ger Toshav? Ger Toshav is not allowed to do Malocha on Shabbos, so there were Tanoim who are of the opinion, increases the Aftes, there are Tanoim who are of the opinion that a Ger Toshav is not allowed to do Malocha on Shabbos. He's not allowed to observe Shabbos either, he has to observe Shabbos a little bit, Lachatzoy. We don't pass like that. The Gemara says, Halacha Ger Shimon Bar Yochai. Shimon Bar Yochai says, the Ger Toshav can do Malocha Kechol. So what does the Pasuk say, Ger Hashem B'sharecha? So Tosfos says, according to Rav Shimon, the way we pass, Ger Hashem B'sharecha means, Amira La'akum is an Issa Deraisa if the Nochri is a Ger Toshav. We have a lot of kulas in Amira La Nochri. We have the Makam Hatzolos Kisvei HaKodesh, Makam Chodesh Eim Misakana. You can ask a goy to drive someone to the hospital if he's a Chodesh Eim Misakana. We have a whole list of kulas in Amira La Nochri on the assumption that Amira La Nochri is only an Issa Derabbanan. But if the Nochri whom you're asking to do the Malacha for you happens to be a Ger Toshav, then it's going to be an Issa Deraisa, then you don't have any of these kulas. You can't have a Shabbos goy to turn off the lights and turn off the lights. But Makam Mitzvah Derabban, we allow Amira La Nochri. But if Amira La Nochri to a Muslim is a Ger Toshav, then it's an Issa Deraisa, then you can't ask, you can't have a goy, you can't use a Muslim as a Shabbos goy then. You have to dafki use a Christian who's not a Ger Toshav. But whoever's Ger Toshav, there's an Issa Deraisa. So Rav Kook works on that. He says, if he has this, he follows this suggestion of the Dayan from his Beis Din Yafo, that all the Muslims have a din of a Ger Toshav, so how can we still have all the kulas of Amir and Anochi by Muslims? So he gives a chilek, it's a shver etshuva, he gives a chilek between the definition of Ger Toshav and a Ger Tamir and Anochi and the definition of Ger Toshav with respect to Im Chayesh and Biker Becha. It's a difficult shuva. Someone told me, who was someone, Tam Chachm, who was familiar with many of the tshuvas of Rav Kook, all the tshuvas are normal, regular style, beautiful style, and this one is a doichik. This tshuva is a big doichik. He was under tremendous pressure. He was not happy about the Hetter Mechira. The end of his life, he died from cancer, he suffered a lot, and he mentioned to the people around him, could be that he suffered so much because of the Hetter Mechira. He wasn't happy about the Hetter Mechira. Yeah, but that was part of the job. That was the previous rabbi, had the Hetter Mechira from the 1600s. So when he took the job, he knew what he was getting himself into. So Nachamo. So the Gemara tells over here, Rabbi Yassi says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, a person eats a chatzi zayis of chazer, a basa b'chalav, then he throws it up, and then he eats, another chatzi zayis of chazer. Not that he eats the same chatzi zayis, he eats a different chatzi zayis. So he never has in his stomach a full kazayis at one time. So Rabbasi says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that's not a problem, because I know as hagorin, he swallowed turkid achilas pras, he swallowed a chatzi zayis of chazer and a chatzi zayis of chazer, turkid achilas pras. Even though there's no hanoas ha-meyayim of a full kazayis, hanoas ha-garvin is enough. Even the opinion is going to say hanoas ha-meyayim, but it's still, everybody agrees, has to go through the throat. If you put it in through a feeding tube, or you put it through intravenous, that's not called achila. It has to go through the throat. But the machlokes is, where do you measure the shir kazayis? Shir kazayis in the throat, the shir isn't landing in the stomach. So Rabbi Yassi says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, fella ate a chatzi zayis and he throws it up, then he eats a different chatzi zayis, tuch de achilas pas min starf. So Rabbi Elazar is also a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. So he asks of Rabbi Yassi, he's not a Talmud of Rabbi Yassi, he's a contemporary of his. The Gemara is going to explain what happened over here. Rabbi Yassi forgot a lot of his learning, and Rabbi Elazar wanted to remind him. So he asks him a question, wait a minute, why did you say over a din in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, he ate a chatzi zayis and he vomits it up, and then he eats a different chatzi zayis? Why don't you say he ate a chatzi zayis, he throws it up, then he eats the same chatzi zayis? That should also be chayiv. So just a little bit on this, if a person ate treif of food and then he throws it up, if it's nifsal me'achilas adam, so there's no achila there, because it's mutter min atar, it's mutter. It's only, it may be awesome in the Rabbanu, we pass and it's awesome Rabbanu. It's mutter because the pasuk says alagera shav shachet tidnan abachala. What do you do with the veila? You sell it to a ger toshe. You give it to a ger toshe, but you sell it to a goy. So the Gemara learns out from the pasuk, nevela harui ala ger kruy nevela. Nevela sheinu harui ala ger eda kruy nevela. If the veila meat is not edible for a ger toshe, it's not fit for human consumption. If samachil is adam, it's mutam in atur. Is it also mid the Rabbanon? So that's a machloik is the Rosh and the Ramban. The Ramban holds that it's even mutam in the Rabbanon. If samachil is adam, it's mutam Rabbanon. And in Yeriday, they paskin like the Rosh, that if you sit and you eat it, let's add a salami out of the refrigerator for a month, and it smells and it's awful, I'm going to get a bellyache if I eat it. So the Rosh says, if you eat it, so you demonstrate, achshaveh, you demonstrate that as far as you're concerned, it is roi l'achila, v'harai, that you're eating it, so then it's an isa derabbanim. Let's say if you swallow a pill, though, he doesn't demonstrate that it's roi l'achila. A pill is a pill. If he sits and he eats a whole tray for salami that smells and it's awful, he's demonstrating that as far as he's concerned, he keeps on slicing the salami, eating more and more and more, and it smells awful. So that you say achshaveh. But if the guy takes a tiny little pill once a day or twice a day or something, that's it. You can't say that that's achshaveh. He's taking it lirafua. People do all kinds of things lirafua. So that you don't apply the achshaveh.
It's chatzi zayis hekiyo. It's only a half a kazayis.
Right. So if he ate a chatzi zayis and he throws it up, and it's still royal achila.
Yeah,
the enzymes didn't do a job yet, so it's not yet nifsam achila. Then he swallows the same chatzi zayis, so his throat had a hanoah of swallowing a full kazayis, tokde achilas pas, but landing in the stomach, originally there was a chatzi zayis landed in the stomach, and now the same chatzi zayis lands in the stomach, but he never had a full kazayis in the stomach.
Right.
So Rabbi Lozer asks Rabbi Yassi, what's the din? Not like you said. You said, he throws up the chatzi zayis and he eats a different chatzi zayis. What would be the din if he swallows the same chatzi zayis? What would be the din? Boy, Rab Lozim Rabasi, what would be the din? They were contemporaries. He said, "Och chatzi zayis v'hikio." He throws it up. V'chazav acholo. Not that he eats a different chatzi. He eats the same. Swallows the same chatzi zayis again. Ma'u, what's the din? So the Gemara says, "Wait a minute. What do you mean? What's the din? What do you mean? My kamei boy. What's the shaila? Is the shaila you have ikeli? Lo have ikul." Equal means, once the enzymes do a job on the food, so it's nifsal me'achila. So, usually when someone vomits something up, it's not roi l'achila. No one's, it's not roi l'achila. So the Gemara says, so if that's the suffix, if he vomited up, then he swallows it again, whether it's roi l'achila or not, so to boil it, because why do you only have, why did Rabbi Elazar ask of Rabbi Basi, what's it then? He had a chatzi zayis and he threw it up and then he swallowed the same chatzi zayis. You should have said he ate a kazayis and we're going to give him, we gave him hasra, we're going to give him malchus. Then he throws it up, and then he wants to eat it again, and we warn him again, don't eat it, we're going to give you malchus. Why did he clear a shayla? Half a kazais, well, I should have said to boy like kazais, if it's equal. Elor, the Gemara said, that's not the shayla. We're talking about a case that it wasn't in the stomach long enough that the enzyme should break it down. It's not Ella, that's not the shayla. The shayla was, well, the bus had grown azlina, the bus had male azlina. Do you need that? You should have at least for one moment the full kazayis landed in the stomach, which you don't have over here. Or they say, no, as long as tel kedachilas pras, he swallowed in the base of Leah two kazayisim, two half kazayisim, tel kedachilas pras. So that's the shayla. Freg digmar v'tip shalei me de Rabbi Yasi. Why can't you be poshed from what he said before? That Rabbi Yasi holds that it depends on hanuaz grono. So why did Rab Lazar ask Rabasi the shayla? He should have known what Rabasi's position is. And for the Gemara, the Maisa Shoya was like this. Rabasi Gemara Iekale. Rabasi got sick and he forgot a lot of his learning. And this was a friend of his. This was a classmate of his. So he came to Rabbi Lazar and he wanted to remind Rabasi of what he himself had said. And at the end he's going to say, you told us that you discussed it with Rabbi Yechanan on many, many occasions. And Rabbi Yechanan said, Beferish, even if you swallowed a half of kazayis and you threw it up and it's not nifsa machin and swallowed the same half of kazayis, a second time, it depends on hanuas agaran. You don't require hanuas mayav that you should have, at least for a moment, a full kazayis should land in the stomach. So Rabbi Lazar wanted to remind, v'asa Rabbi Lazar le'at kure. Rabbi Lazar wanted to remind Rabasi what he himself said. So instead of saying, but you yourself said like this, so yes, what would you say in this case? And he didn't remember. Why did you tell the case? He swallowed a chatzizayis and he threw it up. Then he swallows another chatzizayis. You should have said, bididei. Should have said the case. He swallowed a chatzizayis, threw it up, and then he swallowed the same chatzizayis a second time. If you would have said it like that, you would tell us two chidushim. Number one, shaminim no lo habiyikul. You see that just because it was in the stomach for 2 minutes, that's not called, it didn't disintegrate, the enzymes didn't break it down yet, that's number one. It's still considered roi lachila, still roi lachila sodom. And number two, shaminim no also, you also see that in enegrona, because so you don't need a full kazais to land in the stomach at one time. As long as he swallowed the two half kazesim, took the achilas pras, that's called achila.
Abaye didn't do like that. Abaye used to say to Rabbi Yosef, you told her, you said such and such.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. He was a chaver of his. He didn't want to hurt his feelings. So Rabbi Lazar.
Abaye was a Talmud.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. The Gemara says Rabbi Yosef forgot. Abaye was a Talmud of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef forgot a lot of his learning. So Abai wanted to remind him, so Abai would say, but you yourself told us. He said, listen to yourself. And over here, Rabbi Lazar was very sensitive, so he didn't want to hurt the feelings of Rabasi. So he asked him a question, what would you say in this case? Instead of telling you, yourself said, but Rabasi didn't answer. So Amale, so Rabbi Lazar said, Moifas Hador, God Lador, you yourself told us. At the end, he does tell him. He says, Moifas Hador is a honorary description. You are the God Lador. You are the outstanding Talmud Chacham. Apparently, Rabbi Yochanan passed away already. Said you are the outstanding Talmud Chacham here. Loi zimne sagin amet kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. Didn't you say many times in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan this din that if a person swallows a half a gazais and he throws it up, then he swallows again the same half a gazais that has been starved. And you told us, Rabbi Yochanan told you, you told us, Rabbi Yochanan said, many times he agreed with you. So he tried to say it, Biramiza, and then the Biramiza didn't work, so he told them openly that you yourself told this, obviously you forgot.
Isn't this what Rav Papa said before, that the machlokas is bein ha-chani chayim?
Right.
Isn't that the whole...
The same idea, that it depends on Hanuas Agorain as opposed to Hanuas, right? But we expect to a different Afkemina. There the Afkemina was, is it mitzarev to the shear, because it didn't land in the stomach. And Afkemina is, he never had a full kazayas landing in the stomach. He had a full kazayas at the throat, landing, going, passing through the base of Leah. Yeah.
Both of them followed the same thing. Let's say a person ate basa, and he threw it up, and eat all of it, you have to still wait 6 hours.
I think we assume he does have to wait to 6 hours, even if he threw it up. Yeah, I think so. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the two reasons why you have to. Why the minig is that you wait 6 hours. So if you took care of the both considerations, then there's no problem. So one consideration is the basa may still be ben hashinayim, may be caught. And then they say if you use dental floss and you brush your teeth, there's nothing ben hashinayim, then there won't be a problem. Then the other consideration is that the flavor will still linger on. Flavor will still linger on. So if you take care of that also, so then you don't have to wait 6 hours. Okay. We finished Gidan Noshe. Maybe I was thinking, maybe we should learn, there's a lot more to Chulin that we didn't cover. Maybe we should learn Perak HaZrava HaLachayayim HaKeva. There's a Lubavitcher young man who put out a sefer a few years ago on this Perak. He's complaining why none of the butcher shops and chutz lords observe the mitzvah of giving the rechof dalid matnas kuna. That's how the midrashim say. They're 24 matnas kuna. They're more than 24 matnas kuna. You have to give pidyon haben to the kohen. You have to give truma gedoyli. You have to give ma'isa mina ma'isa, chala bikurim. You have to give zrua l'chayayim v'hakev. You have to give a lot of matonis. They're more than 24, but somehow the tanoim combined a few together. And they call it 24. So one of them is Ralach Hayayim HaKeva. We learned quite a few prokem already. So some animals are behema, some animals are chaya, and some animals are roifas. So there are differences between behema chaya and behema chaya. They both, if you shecht it, if the kosher behema kosher chaya, if you shecht, you have to shecht both the kona and the veshen. When you shecht enough, you only have to shecht either the kona or the veshen, only one simen. So there, Be'em and Chaya are the same, and Oif is different. The Benegeh to Osev Ezbeno, you're not allowed to Shecht Osev Ezbeno B'yom Echad, that only applies to Behema, does not apply to Chaya. If you're Shechting a deer, you may Shecht Osev Ezbeno B'yom Echad, and it doesn't apply to chickens, only applies to Behemoth. What about Chelev? So Chelev is only those parts of the animal that are Chelev, only applies to Behema, doesn't apply to Chaya, and certainly doesn't apply to Oifus. What's the din of Kisei Hadam? We had the mitzvah Kisei Hadam is only Chayav Va'Of, doesn't apply to Behemah. And this din, Zralach Hayayim Va'Keva, is a din, whenever you shecht a Behemah, doesn't apply to Chay, doesn't apply to Of. Whenever you shecht a Behemah, you have to give these matanas to the Kohen. So the Mishnah, there's going to be a whole parak about it, a small parak. So the Mishnah starts off, Nogim Ba'aretz of Chutz Lortz. It applies equally in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Lortz. It's not an agricultural mitzvah. It has nothing to do with the karka, that it should be restricted only to Eretz Yisrael. So that's the problem. How come in Europe, nobody have, all over the world, only in Eretz Yisrael, they worry about Zerah L'Chayim HaKeva? How come nobody gives Zerah L'Chayim HaKeva in Chutz La'aretz? So our practice is based on the Gemara later, Kuf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. The Gemara Kuf Lamed Vav Amid Beis has right in the middle of the daf, the Gemara has on the left hand margin, it says Brachas Chav Beis. It's right in the middle of the Amen. So where it has the asterisk there, so it says Amar Abnachem by Yitzchak Ha Idna Bizman Hazeh No Galma Deminik Ha'ilam Is Kahani Tlas Sove. There are many generations of Tanoim. So the ancient Tanoim from earlier generations, that's called Sove, the older Tanoim. Then there were later Tanoim. Abnachem by Yitzchak is an Amoira. But he says, the minig olam is kaveh what the psak halach is. He says, the minig olam is that they have three kulas where they rely on really a shita sayochid, that in earlier generations the minig was not lahokel, and the later generations the frumayidin were makel. Let's say in America the minig is that they don't keep Shabbos and Kashrus and Tarzan. That's not called the minig. They eat treif. We're talking of religious Jews who observe everything. And the Minig Olam shows that they have adopted the position of the Shitas HaYochid in these three areas. No Galma, the Minig, Bizman HaZeh is Kahani Tlasavi, like the following three Tanoim from the earlier Doris HaKadmainim. Number one, Kirabaloi, Bereshis HaGez. What's Reshis HaGez? Reshis, that's the next Perek, Perek HaKadosh. Reshis HaGez, when you shear off wool from the sheep, and there's a minimum of five sheep and a minimum of a certain weight of wool, a certain minimum amount. So then there's a mitzvah to give a certain amount to the kohen, Reish HaGez. So this is not an agricultural mitzvah. It should apply equally to Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. So the Tana Rabbi Eloi holds it does not apply to chutzlah. It's Rabbi Eloi on there. Reishis Ageza and Inai Gala Ba'aretz. So here is the top thesis. So Tesis quotes Rashi, the top line in the top Tesis. Not only Reishis Ageza, who adin but matonis. Matonis means Rola Chayim Va'akeva. That just like the Minika Oilam in the days of Rav Nachman by Yitzchak is, that you don't observe Reishis Ageza and chutzlah, it's because we follow Rabbi Eloi. We also follow Rabbi Eloi regarding shechting behemoths, that you don't have to give the Zerah L'Chayayim V'Akeva to the Kohen. So Tosfos explains, even though it's a Shittas HaYochid, that's the Minhag Olam, that we follow, the religious Jews follow the Shittas HaYochid. So then Tosfos quotes, but all the Amoraim in the Talmud Bavli, they all lived in Bavel, and they all were, they did give Zerah L'Chayayim V'Akeva. So that was Amidas Chasidus. Sure. Avagav dekulam rad perak hazra sabi shenoyg b'chutz lartz dav yavi matanta b'bovel afilo achi alochi krebi loy. The din really is not so. You're not mechuyev to give. So that's what the meaning has been for many centuries, that nobody gives v'alachayay v'akev and chutz lartz. This young Lubavitcher fellow put out a whole book, and he quotes every rishon under the sun. They all say not like Rashi. They all disagree with Rashi. This is also not happy with Rashi. They think that the minig is like Rabbi Eloi Bereshis Hagez. Rashi added on Hu Adin Lematon. That's what Rashi added on, but it doesn't say that in the Gemara. So the Ruba of the Rishonim, they all take issue with this Rashi. Then the Gemara continues. What are the other two, three things? There are three inyanim. No gama kahani tlas savi. The minig of them is like three tanoim on three different issues. So one is Bereshis Hagez. They don't observe in chutz lords like the Shita Sayochad of Rabbi Eloi. Next one is, there was an old Takonas Ezra. Ezra was the beginning of the Beis Sheni after the 7 years of Golas Bava. Ezra and Nehemiah came back and they built the second Beis Hamikdash. Ezra made 10 Takonas. So one of the 10 Takonas was that a Balkeri is not allowed to learn, is not allowed to daven unless he goes to Mikveh. So the Gemara says that in later generations they abolished Takonas Ezra. The minigas like Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera, the Divrei Torah at the time, Rabbi ben Misera and Divrei Torah Mekablam Tumah. Even though the person is a Balkeri, he's permitted to learn Torah. That's a big machlech. Permitted to learn Torah. What about davening? Davening is also, he's allowed to daven. It was one takana together. Balkeri is not allowed to daven, and he's not allowed to learn Torah. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bisera abolished the takana vis-a-vis learning Torah. Because he said he learned that from a pasuk, Divrei Torah, not Mekabel Tumah. What about davening? So that's a machlech, is the Rambam and the Ravid. So the Rambam says, Mi'ikra din, the takana was abolished, both when he get to learning and when he get to davening. So Mikra Adena Balkeri is allowed to daven also, but he says, the Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah, but the Rabban Shalom can testify on me that I always go to Mikveh before I daven. That's what he writes in the Mishnah Torah. So why? So, but he holds that the Takana was abolished. So what does he gain by observing the Takana? So the Kesh Mishnah explains, Kesh Mishnah quotes from Rishonim who explain, the Takana really was a good Takana. The more correct is the Balkeri should not learn, should not daven. But it was a Gzerish anyway, Vatzibi Cholam Lamabo. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda ben Bisera abolished it. But whoever can, whoever is able to be Oimibo, so the more correct is that they should observe Gzerish. So the Rambam writes it. He was able to do it. That's what all the Hasidim go to Mikveh. Many Hasidim go to Mikveh before they daven. They're following the Shittas HaRavid. The Ravid disagrees with that Rambam. The Rosh quotes the Ravid. We don't have the Ravid in the Hasagas on the Rambam. There are a lot of Ravids that are missing in the Hasagas of Rambam. He didn't write all the time. Just because there's no Hasagas of Rambam doesn't mean that he agrees. There are many places where we know the Ravid disagrees and he didn't bother to write a Hasaga. So this is one of them. The Rosh quotes the Ravid who disagrees with Amri Holtz. No, that Mikra Din, the Takanas Ezra was only abolished vis-a-vis learning. It was never abolished with respect to davening. And you said, Balkeri still has to go to Mikveh. So that's what the Hasidim are machma like the Ravid Shita.
Don't you need the best big burden, Chachma Minyan, to abolish?
Right. Usually a later Bezin wants to repeal a rabbinic enactment that was made by an earlier Bezin. You need a greater Bezin, Chachma Minyan, unless it's Ein Yecholim Lamed Boy. So that's what Tosfos says. They saw in the days of Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera that it's too difficult to observe this Gzeira Derabbanan. So that's why he had the right to abolish it, even though he didn't think that he was Godel B'chachma B'minyan, right? That's what Tosfos says. The Miri has a different answer on that kasha. The Miri in Brochas on Davcha Beis says, he asked the same question as Tosfos. How did Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, how did he have the right to abolish the Takanas Ezra? Did he think it was greater, B'chach Lemini, greater than Ezra? So he says, that din, a later bezin cannot abolish a takana of an earlier bezin, unless the greater b'chach minyan is only if it was a takana de rabbanon. But this was not a takana de rabbanon. The 10 takanas Ezra, 9 were takanas de rabbanon. This one was a din de raisa. Ezra learned pshat in the psukim and chumash that before Maimon Hasina, everybody had to go to mikvah. Why? Because Maimon Hasina was going to be liman hatorah. So for liman hatorah, you're not allowed to be. The married people had to go to mikvah, the men and the women. Because the men were balkeri, they were married, and the women were polet and shichva zera. So that was a din deraisa, that wasn't a din derabbanan. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira disagreed with Ezra's pshat in the pasuk. So whenever you there's a machloikis regarding a din deraisa, there's no requirement for gadol b'chach b'min. It's only needed if you want to repeal the rabbinic enactment. But if you want to disagree on the level of deraisa, every time a chacham in his generation has the right, if he's entitled to an opinion. Not every rabbi is entitled to an opinion, but any rabbi who's entitled to an opinion has a right to disagree even with those who are greater than him. Rav Moshe Feinstein very often disagrees with the Shach and with the Chavos Das and with the Nari Yehuda and with the Chassam Sofer. So there was a Hungarian rabbi who wrote a whole sefer attacking Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe Tshuvas are called Igris Moshe. So this rabbi wrote a very good, a strong sefer. He knew how to learn. This rabbi wrote Mana Leigoris, the response to the Igris Moshe, and it's printed by the same printer as Rav Moshe's Tshuvas, and the same two columns on every page. Looks just like an Igris Moshe. And he's very abrasive, though. He's very disrespectful to Rav Moshe Feinstein. He says, who did he think? Rav Moshe was such an arrogant person. He thinks he's greater than the Chassam Sofer. He thinks he's greater than Nadi Yehuda. Those who remember Rav Moshe, he was so unusually humble. Unusually humble. He wasn't arrogant at all. Didn't have any arrogance at all. So Rav Moshe defended himself. He said, I don't think I'm greater than Nadi Yehuda. I think I'm entitled. I said, I'm not sure I'm entitled to an opinion. That's what he said. I'm not sure I'm entitled to an opinion. But the other rabbani keep on pressuring me. They want to know my opinion. So if you want to know my opinion, I have to express my honest to goodness opinion. I think that Nadi Yehuda made a mistake. And the din that you need a greater bezin b'chachma v'minyan only applies if you want to repeal a rabbinic enactment. But if you're talking a learning, you're talking what is the din? So ein lecha l'shefet shebi amecha. Everybody in their generation is, if you're entitled to an opinion, you have to express your honest to goodness opinion, even if it's in disagreement with people who are greater. So that's what the Gemara says. No gamakanit lasavi. The third is when you get to planting kilayim. That you only violate as an isa, you're not allowed to plant kilayim, kiloya kerem. It's only if you throw all three bevasach, chita v'sor v'chartzen. You throw wheat and barley and grape seeds. V'mapolos yad. You hold all three in your hand, you throw it together. But if you plant the chitim here and the sorim separately and the chartzen separately, without a fence, that's not an isa deraisa planting kilayim. So that's what Rav Nachman Yitzchak says. The minig olam is that we follow Rabbi Yehuda. So Rashi, the minig olam is that everybody follows Rashi, that they don't observe the mitzvah of Zerah L'chayim HaKeva all over the world. So this fellow is trying to convince all the kashrus organizations that they should start observing it. Okay, that's this perek. Zerah L'chayim HaKeva, Nogim, the Mishnah starts off, Nogim Ba'aretz U'v'chutz L'aretz, Mikra Adin, that's what it should be. The mitzvah applies all over the world. It's not an agricultural mitzvah.
Tongue is part of one of the matanas. Tongue.
Yeah, the tongue is included in keva, in lechi.
Eat tongue in Eretz Yisrael.
That's the shaila. You shouldn't be able to eat tongue in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael for sure it applies. So if you have a goyish shutif in the firm, in the slaughterhouse, or if you have a koyin, koyanim are not mechuyev to give matanas tadas. So what they do in Eretz Yisrael, they don't want to have an Arab shutif, so they make a kohen, a shutif in the slaughterhouse, in order to pattern themselves. That's a shot. Is that right? It's like mechiras chametz, but mechiras chametz, it's a haram, it's a legal fiction. Mechiras chametz, you sell a chametz in order to avoid violation of an avera bal yura by motze. Here you're doing a haram, a legal fiction, in order to avoid fulfillment of a mitzvah. In the normal course of events, you would have a mitzvah. to give matanas to the kohen.
Yeah.
And then you go out of your way. Let's say a woman is about to have a baby, and she's about to have a baby boy. They took her son again. They know it's a baby boy, so the father's going to have to give pidyon aben. So he says, no, do a C-section, so I won't have to give pidyon aben. Is that right? You should do something in order to patei yourself from a mitzvah. In the normal course of events, he would have a mitzvah to give pidyon aben. Normal course of events, he would have a mitzvah to give zevul chayyam akev. So you're doing a harama in order to patei yourself from a mitzvah. So that's not right. That's not right. The Chazanish used the tumul. He didn't like the heta mechira. So people asked him, manishtana, but everybody relies on the heta mechira by mechira's chametz. What is so upset about the heta mechira for shmita? So he didn't answer. So they used to be together with the Chazanish, that was years ago, there used to be a Rabbi Mendelssohn from Kibbutz Kom Meyut. He passed away a long time ago. So his son is an old man now. His son is older than me. So his son took over. So this Mendelssohn used to also tumul against the Heta Mechira. You shouldn't rely on Heta Mechira. I bet everybody does it by Mechira's Chametz. So he said there's a difference. Shemitah is a mitzvah sesev, shab saharet Shabbos l'ashem. So when you do a harama, you sell the land to an Arab, even if you hold that it's valid, even if you hold that it accomplishes and you don't have to observe Shemitah, but you patei yourself from a mitzvah. So that's not right. The harama by Mechira's Chametz is the mitzvah of Tashbis, so you do observe. You have a little Chametz and you burn the Chametz. There's no mitzvah. It's a bigger mitzvah to burn 100 pounds of chametz. I burn 1 pound of chametz, and the 99 pounds of chametz I sell to the goy. And 1 pound of chametz I burn. But so by mechiras chametz, the haram is in order to avoid violation of bal yirah by matzeh. So to do a legal fiction to avoid violation of aveira is okay. Let's say a person wants to shave. So he's not allowed to shave with a razor, so he uses an electric shaver. So if you hold an electric shaver as mutter, you say, ay, it's a harama. What's wrong? A harama for what? But if you're not in violation of the law, so you're not in violation. But if you're going to do a harama, legal fiction, to pat yourself from a mitzvah, so that's not right. So the Rabbi Mendelssohn said this. So the Chazanish said, that's a good svar. He intuitively, he felt that there's a difference between Mechiras Chametz and Mechiras Karka for Shemitah, but he couldn't formulate it. So this Rabbi Mendelssohn pointed out, there's a Taisus in the beginning of Pchoris, makes that distinction. The Bizman Abayis, the Gemara says, it's not right to make a shutvis with a goy in order to pati yourself from Bechor Behemah Tahirah. Bizman Abayis is a mitzvah. Behemah gives birth to first blood as a zohar, as a male. So you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and you give it to the Kohanim. It's one of the 24 Matnas Kuhuna and it's a carbon. So Bizman HaMikdash, if you make a shutvis with a goy in order to pati yourself, so the Gemara says, the one who did it was punished. You're not allowed to do that. But this is how Bizmanas, everybody does it. Why? There's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no way to fulfill a mitzvah. So what motivates us to make the shutfus with the goy? Because we're afraid someone's going to violate Me'ila Behegdash. The firstborn is going to be a Zohar, and it's going to have Kedushas Korban, and there's an Issa Me'ila, you know, even though it's Kachim Kalim, but there's still an Issa Me'ila. You're not allowed to be Nana from it. We're afraid someone's going to violate the Issa. So what motivates us to make the shutfus with the goy is in order that people shouldn't be nichshol and violating the Avera. So Taisa says, to use a legal fiction to avoid violation of Avera, that's okay. To use a legal fiction in order to avoid fulfilling a mitzvah sesed, that's not okay. So that's what Rav Mendelssohn from Kom Meyot pointed to that Taisus. That's in the beginning, Bechiras, Dav Gimel, Dav Tal, at the very beginning, Gimel on the base, I think. He said that's the difference between Bechiras Chametz, Bechiras Mechiras Shemitah for Shemitah.
Right. Say, never to Israel. So they make a partner a Kohen. Yeah. Isn't that Geneva also? You're stealing from Kohanim?
It's not Geneva, he's Potter. In the normal course of events, I wouldn't have made him a Shutif. Me and my brother, me and my Shutif, we're together. I do it, it's called a legal fiction. I'm making a kind of Shutif in order to be Potter from giving the Zerala Chayim Hakeh. So it's called a legal fiction. It's not illegal, it's legal.
But you're taking from Kohanim what's really theirs?
It should have been theirs. But once you have a coin who's a shutif, so you're not mechuyev to give to others. So that's, you're using a legal fiction to pati yourself from fulfilling a mitzvah. So that's not right. That's right. That's not proper.
If you did nowadays, you give it to your local coin?
You're supposed to give it to the coin? He's allowed to eat it, the tumah. Zolach hayam rakevish, that's a shtik flesh. So in Eretz Yisrael, that's it. If you go to a restaurant and they're going to serve you tongue, so that's a very... And that's all for sure you have to give as well. that if the slaughterhouse has a shutfus with a koyen or a nochri, so then they're putter, they're off the hook, and there's no mitzvah that gives or lachayam b'akeva. But very often they don't have a shutfus and they just don't fulfill the mitzvah. Then it's taki gneva, the one who takes the tongue and eats it is gamening from the kohana.
They can do the same thing.
Imported.
They could have done the same thing, but no one ever bothers to do it. Chutzlords, they all rely on Rashi. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's a very difficult, yeah, it's a very difficult kula.
What's the difference between the Maaser Rishon and
the... It's not right. You should give the Maaser Rishon to the Levim. Yeah, I remember when we visited Reb Mendel Zaks when he moved to Eretz Yisrael, so he said he always gives away the Maaser Rishon. He gets the Yeshiva Bach and he gives them the Maaser Rishon.
Is there any more of a kula by Maaser Rishon than the Vezor L'Chaim Geb? And is there any difference in the logic? It's the exact same...
We assume the Kohanim are Kohanim.
I think we assume that Kohanim are Kohanim.
We assume the Kohanim are Kohanim. We assume the Levim are Levim.
Okay.
We assume they're both, everybody. The Kohen, when he makes a Pidyon HaBen, you say a Brocha on the Pidyon HaBen. He gets the first Aliyah. Someone has to get the first Aliyah. Even if it's not a Kohen, it's not a Brocha about Tova. If there's no Kohen, you don't start from Shlishi. Someone gets the first aliyah. So that's not a riot, the fact that the coin gets the first. But the coin says a bracha on duchening. Coin says a bracha when you do pidyon aben. Abi aben says a bracha. We assume it's a vaday coin. We assume the levim are vaday levim. For many generations, early rachrenim were assuming that kohanim today are sofik kohanim. Because in the days of Ezra, it says in Sefer Ezra, those kohanim who couldn't produce a ksav yichas were rejected. Nego alumin hakuhuna. They were rejected from Kuna. They didn't allow them to be Makar Kabbonis in the Baal Sheni. So for many generations, it was assumed that all the Kohanim is Manazer are only Kohanim Chazokah, so they're Sufi Kohanim. That's why they're not allowed to be Makar Kabbonis. So no one understood if they're Sufi Kohanim. So how do you say Brochan Duchening? How do you say Brochan Pigyat? Then how can it be? Until Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher wrote a whole open letter to Baron Rothschild, suggesting that he should put up money and they should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. He never visited Eretz Yisrael, so he didn't know there was a mosque on the Makom HaMikdash. So he wrote a whole open letter to Baron Rothschild. It's called Rishas Tzion. It was reprinted many times over. So he says, let's build a Beis HaMikdash and let's be Makar Karbonis. We can solve all the problems. He has solutions to all the problems. So he raises the issue, but we don't have enough Kohanim Miyuchasim to run the Beis HaMikdash to be Makar Karbonis. So he came up with a chiddush. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So he came up with a chiddush that the requirement for Kohen Miyuchas to be Makar Kabbanis and Beis HaMikdash was only a Chumra Midirabbanon. It was only intended, it was only introduced in the beginning of the Baal Sheni period where there were enough Kohanim Miyuchasim who can run the Beis HaMikdash without the Kohanim Chazokah. But Bizman HaZev will observe this Chumra that Kohanim Chazokah cannot be Makar Kabbanis. You just do away with the whole HaKrovas HaKabbanis, that they never intended that form. It's only a Chumr Midrabbanan, and never meant to be Machmir, if it means you won't be Makar Kabbanis at all. So he sent a copy of the Sefer to Rabbi Kivege. He was masking with him. Rabbi Kivege was the father-in-law of the Chassam Sefer. So he sent the Sefer to his son-in-law, to the Chassam Sefer. So he was masking also. So from that time on, from the middle 1800s, Rabbi Kivege and the Chassam Sefer were both an agreement with Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher, so now it's mekubal by the poskim that kohanim avadei kohanim. They're not sofik kohanim, and there's no justification not to give the maaser rishon to the levi, not to give the truma to the kohen. We give pidyon haben to the kohen. Yeah, it's not a sofik. It's a avadei kohanim. Yeah. Ezra made a penalty, the Gemara in Ksuvus has two versions. What exactly was the penalty? Was the penalty that you don't give at all, you only give it to the Kohanim? Or in earlier generations, you could give it either to the, you can only give it to the Levi? We follow that opinion. In the earlier generation, you can only give Maaser Rishon to the Levi. Ezra penalized them, you're open, you can give it to a Kohen or a Levi. If the original din deraisa is that you can give Maaser Rishon either to a Kohen or a Levi, then the penalty of Ezra was you can only give the Maaser Rishon to a Kohen, you can't give to a Levi. If the original Din Deraisa was that you can only give, that's a lead pasuk, you can only give Maaser Rishon to a Levi, then the Knas of Ezra was you can give to a Kohen or a Levi. You only made a Knas one step away from the Din Deraisa, you didn't move two steps away. So depending, that's how the Gemara says in Ksuvos in the second fact, depending what was the Din Deraisa before the Knas of Ezra, that's going to determine what the Knas was. So the Rama Paskin is that the Din Deraisa was, because the Gemara says, B'chop Tavad Mekomis Nikru Kahanim Levim. The 24 Psukim in Tanakh, where the Tanakh refers to Kahanim, calls them Levim. So you see that Kohen is a Levi also. And there are other places where we say Kohen is Nishkan Levi. So which is it? A Kohen is a Levi, is not a Levi. So the answer probably is, Kohanim belong to Shevet Levi, but they don't have Kedushas Levi. They're two different things, the Shevet Levi and Kedushas Levi. So there's Machlek Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah, are you Yotze the mitzvah of Maaser Rishon if you give it to a Kohen? What's the Machlekes? Is the mitzvah to give Maaser Rishon to someone from Shevet Levi? So Kohanim are included in Shevet Levi. B'chav Talim Mekamis Nikra Kohanim Levim. But he's saying, no, the mitzvah is to give Maaser Rishon to one who has Kedushas Levi. So Kohen only has Kedushas Kohen. Kohen does not Kedusha Levi. So that's a machlekes, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah. And the Gemara says in Ksubis, depending what the Din Deraisa is, that's going to determine what the nature of the penalty was. If the Din Deraisa is that you can give Maaser Rishon either to a Kohen or a Levi, then the Takana says, well, you only give it to the Kohen. If the Din Deraisa was like Rabbi Kiva, you can only Yotze Maaser Rishon if you give it to a Levi, then the Takana Darabana was you can give it either to a Kohen or a Levi. So that's how we pass. So that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the din of Zerah L'chayim Akev applies even to Chutz Lartz. We don't observe that. Then it says, B'fnei Abayis V'shalov B'fnei Abayis. Has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, but it only applies B'chulin Avlov V'mikdash. It doesn't apply to Karbonis. It only applies to Behemas Chulin. Shoei B'din, we really should have made a Kal V'chaymer. A din is a Kal V'chaymer. We should have said like this, Mada Chulin. When the Shech Behemas Chulin all over the world, Nishken Karbon. Chaz of Ashok is special din in Shlomim. Whenever you shech the Shlomim, you have to give the Chaz of Ashok to the Kohen. So, Mada Chulin, where you don't have a mitzvah, Chaz of Ashok, nonetheless, Chayavim be Matonis, you have to give Zerah L'chayim Akev to the Kohanim. So, Kotchim, if you shech the Shlomim, Shechayavim Chaz of Ashok, you have more Matnas Kuhuna. So, shouldn't it be Ein Adin, shouldn't it be a Kavachaymer, Shechayavim Matonis? So the answer is, we have a pasuk that says that it's not so. Talmud Lema, the pasuk says, in Vayikra, it says you should give Chaz of Ashok to the Kohanim, Ve'eten Oysam La'aron HaKohen HaLevan V'Lechok HaLam. It says, Ve'eten Oysam, I only gave Chaz of Ashok. I didn't give Zerah L'chayim V'Akeva from Karbonis. Ein Lo Ela Masham L'Binyan, only the Chaz of Ashok. Then the Mishnah is going to go into the details, when do you have a din of Zerah L'chayim V'Akeva, when not. It's an easy parrot. So believe that, and we'll continue here. This week is Yom Ha'atzmaut. All over the world, they're celebrating the 70th year since Hakamas HaMedina. What to celebrate about. So I thought maybe I'll share some anecdotes. There was a sefer written in the early 1800s by a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. His name of the sefer is Kol HaTor. And Shir HaShirim, it says, Kol HaTor Nishma V'Yatzeinu. It's the springtime, and the birds are chirping, and everything, the grass is green, and it's time for Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the Rebbeinu Tzom loves the Jewish people, and he takes us out of time. So this sefer, Kol HaTor, is all about the Gulu Hasida. What's going to be as Moshiach that kun? So the Gemara, we know about Moshiach ben David. Mel HaMashiach means going to have Moshiach b'Shemen HaMishcha. Shemen HaMishcha, Shemen Mishcha's Kodesh, is only if you're a Melech from the Malchit Beis Dov. So since the end of the Beis Rishon, we haven't had a Melech from the Malchit Beis David. So all the other kings who are not from Malchit Beis David, they have imitation Mashiach. They have Mashiach B'Shem and Afarsimon, parsimony oil. I remember years ago, around 20 years ago, there was headlines on the first page in the New York Times that they found a jug of parsimony oil from the days of Yoshke. And do you know what parsimony oil is? State the New York Times on page 1. This is what they used to anoint the Davidic kings. So that's exactly a mistake. This is what they used to anoint those kings who are not from the Malchus Beis David. Those Malchus Beis David, they didn't use Shemen HaFarsman. They used Shemen Mishcha's Kodesh, the real Shemen HaMishcha. So the Melech HaMashiach is called Mashiach because Mashiach B'Shemen Mishcha's Kodesh is only for the Malchus Beis David. So that's going to be the Mashiach Ben David. Then the Gemara in one place in the end of Silka talks about there's going to be Mashiach ben Yosef, he's going to be before Mashiach ben David, he's going to be killed, and that's going to pave the way for Mashiach ben David. The Gemara never explains what it's all about. Apparently the Zohar has a lot, much more, much more. The Gemara only has mentioned in one place the end of Sukkah. The Zohar has a lot. So the Vilna Gaon developed many ideas in respect to Mashiach ben Yosef, and he told over the Talmidim, and one of the Talmidim wrote it all up in the Sefer Kol Haftar. And he quotes from the Vilna Gaon, if I would have been brought into the world only to develop all of these ideas, he felt that this was the area of Torah that he developed more than any other area. And then he said he thought he was Mashiach ben Yosef, whatever that means. He wasn't killed by anybody. You don't think he was killed. So I don't know what that means. Anyway, so in this Sefer, Kol HaTorah, he singles out 3 days that are going to be very crucial with respect to the Geula. But it doesn't give you the dates. The 3 dates that he singles out are He'ir, Vav'ir, and Chav Chesir. But he doesn't say the dates. He gives you Teferish HaBechesed and so on. You've got to look in the Siddur. But that's what it corresponds to. He'ir, Vav'ir, and Chav Chesir is Yom Yerushalayim. So one of the Rabbanim who lives here in Queens, Professor Horowitz, Ablezer Horowitz, he said he was brought up in Eretz. So he remembers when they had Hakamas HaMedina, the British mandate officially was over at midnight on Friday night. And Erev Shabbos was Heir. And officially the Medina was supposed to be declared midnight on Vavir. But some of the people who signed the declaration of the Medina was Shem Shabbos. They didn't want to sign on Shabbos. They signed, it was illegal. So they signed on Friday. And Friday was still under the British. They signed on Friday. So Rabbi Yanke Moshe Chalap was dancing in the street. That's what he remembers. Rabbi Chalap didn't know this. He heard it from Professor Horowitz. Rabbi Yanke Moshe Chalap was the Rosh Yeshiva in Merkaz Harav. He was dancing from joy. Now he knows Pshat and the Kol HaTorah about Heir Vavir, because it was really supposed to be Vavir, but because of Chilul Shabbos, they signed it the day before. The war began right away. The war began on Friday. The Arabs didn't care that the mandate was still until midnight. Once the Jews declared the Medina, so they started the war right away. So he said he understands, hey, he does know what Chav Chesir is all about. He didn't live so long to see Yom Yerushalayim. The Chav Chesir was Yom Yerushalayim. That was very interesting. Then I remember years ago, talking here in Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld Shul, I was once there on Yom HaShoah, so they showed a documentary film, The Long Way Home. Why did it take so long after the Second World War was over for the Jews to come to Eretz Yisrael? So they explained, it was a documentary. The British wouldn't let them in, and they had all these Jews in the DP camps, and they distributed questionnaires to them. Write, what are your choices? What's your first choice? Where do you want to go? First country, second country. What's your first choice, second choice, third choice? Many of them wrote only 2 choices. The first choice was Palestine. Second choice was crematoria. If you don't let us go to Palestine, burn us alive in the crematorium. No one wanted to take them in. So it took the longest time. So this was a documentary showing everything. So just Thanksgiving, this past Thanksgiving, so everyone was celebrating the 70th anniversary of the United Nations Commission that decided to partition Palestine to give half to the Jews. So they wrote in the papers, they didn't write also, they wrote in the papers that the vote was supposed to take place the day before Thanksgiving on Wednesday, but for some reason or another, it was postponed to Monday. So they didn't explain, they left out a whole chunk of history. The vote was supposed to be on Wednesday, Erev Thanksgiving, and the people from the Jewish agency looked around, they realized they don't have a majority, they're not going to win. So in the documentary, so they have this, so they asked one of the representatives of one of the countries, can you please filibuster, so the vote will be postponed till Monday, because they're not going to meet on Thanksgiving, and on the weekend they're not going to meet, and they hope that by Monday they'll have the majority. So he asked, I remember the documentary, he asked, how long do you want me to filibuster? So he said, 1 hour. So he said, cinch, not a problem. 1 hour, not a problem. So he filibustered, and they had to postpone the vote. So then they said they're going to have to get the right. So one of the Balabatim in Boston, who used to drive Rabbi Soloveitchik around, told over this story. The people from the Jewish agency contacted Rabbi Soloveitchik. He must speak to Cardinal Cushing. I think he was the cardinal in Boston. And according to the chukim of the Catholics, the poisek achron for 11 South American Catholic countries was the Boston cardinal. Whatever he says goes. So Rabbi Soloveitchik has to speak to Cardinal Cushing to convince him before Monday that he has to give a psak. So he called Cardinal Cushing. He had a relationship with him in the past. And he said he has something very, very urgent he has to speak to him. So he says, I didn't prepare my drasha for Thanksgiving yet. Does it have to be now? Does it have to be today? So he said, no, but it has to be before Shabbos. So he met with him, and he gave a psak to the 11 South American countries that were on the committee that they have to vote for Hakon Tamadil. So I was a little boy. I didn't know anything that was going on. So one of the rebbes in the yeshiva, Rabbi Rum, told me that at that time, when the commission, the majority on Monday, when they had the vote, so all the South American countries voted for Hakam Samadina. So he said, no one understood why. So they said, Argentina, I think, was controlled by one Peron. So I think his brother-in-law was Jewish. And another one had a mother-in-law who was Jewish. Some of them had Jewish relatives. But the other 8-9 countries, no one understood why in the world did they vote for Hakam Samadina. So the reason why was because the cardinal from Boston was explained by Rabbi Soloveitchik. Why they have to vote for the Hakam Samadina? Because the Jews have no place to go. They're sitting in the DP camps, and they're writing the first choice is Palestine, second choice is crematoria, because it was terrible there. The life there was terrible. And then they tell a story. Rabbi Abba Zions used to be a rabbi, and he was a rabbi in the Bronx, and Leon Wells' father-in-law. So he used to be a rabbi in the Bronx, and he taught in the college. He taught in Yeshiva College. So he was born in Brisk. He didn't learn by Rav Velvel Soloveitchik, but as a child, he used to play with Rav Beryl Soloveitchik, the children of Rav Velvel Soloveitchik. So later in life, when he was an old man, he lived in the Bronx. He used to go visit Eretz Yisrael sometimes in the summer. He would always go visit Rav Beryl Soloveitchik to talk about the old times. So, and once in a while he would write essays. He would write in Yiddish, he would publish essays in Yiddish and Hebrew. So, on one occasion, he printed an essay in Hebrew that Rav Beryl Soloveitchik, the Tana, son of Rav Velvel, told him over. That towards the end of the Mechemet HaShechruer, the Jewish army ran out of ammunition. I think this is this part of the story is at Dov Yudu. They ran out of ammunition. So, the part that's not Yudu is that Ben Gurion had a shaila. So he called up somehow, I don't think Rav Velvel Soloveitchik had a telephone, must have called the next door neighbor. He contacted Rav Velvel Soloveitchik on the telephone, and he asked him, what should we do? Should we surrender to the enemy today? Or should we make believe that we have ammunition? And then they'll keep on shooting, we're not going to respond. Then they'll realize, so tomorrow, we'll have to surrender tomorrow. So Rav Velvel thought, when we surrender to the Arabs, they'll kill everybody. So he said, well, you crazy? You're going to surrender today? They'll kill us all today. Wait till tomorrow. We'll live another day. We'll eat fill in another day. We'll dive another day. And on that day, that's when the plane came from Czechoslovakia with the extra ammunition. And then they won the war because of the postponing. One day, so Rabbi Beryl Soloveitchik was telling this over to Rabbi Abba Zions in Yiddish, but he printed it over in Hebrew in an essay, I think, in Hador. So Rabbi Beryl Soloveitchik said, "No, me hitzil et hamedina, Abba Shali hitzil et hamedina. Rabbi Beryl saved hamedina. If Ben Gurion would have done what he wanted, he would have surrendered the day before. We would have lost the whole medina. Abba Shali hitzil et hamedina." And I remember just a fourth anecdote. I remember the Mizrahi used to have their own newspaper in Eretz Yisrael. They closed down 20 years ago. So I remember once I was in Kerem Yavne, they had some old newspapers there in the apartment where I was staying. So one of the newspapers, apparently they had been writing about, before Hakam Samdina in 1948, how many Rabbanim were for Hakam Samdina, how many were against. So they're trying to ascertain what was the position of the Panavizharov. What did he think? Should they establish a Medina? Like Arpenkin was very opposed. He said, you're going to make a Medina, it's going to cause more anti-Semitism, going to cause more bloodshed. He didn't think it's a smart idea, but many thought that we're going to save the lives of all the Jews in the DP camps. So they asked, what was Rav Kahneman's position? So someone wrote, I learned in Panevich at that time, and the yeshiva owned a lot of property, they owned a big forest, and it wasn't, they didn't chop down the trees, they didn't make dormitories yet, it was just a gigantic forest. So before 1947, the Bochum and the yeshiva noticed that there were some people roaming around in the forest who were hiding there in the forest. They didn't know who they were. So they told the Panevich Rav. So he wasn't afraid, so he walked in. It turned out they were from the Irgun, or for the terrorists who were trying to pressure the British. to keep their promise to make a medina. So Rav Kahneman had a conversation with them, and he asked them, is there really going to be a medina? He said, absolutely, there's going to be a war. It's going to be a fierce war. Many lives will be lost, but there's going to be a medina bevadai. So what are you doing here? They're hiding from the British. The British will catch him, they'll kill him, because they were bombing hotels and bombing trains and so on. They'll kill him. So they were hiding there. So he told them they should stay there. And then they said, so how do they get food? They should be afraid to go to the city. They'll go to the city, the British police may recognize them. So he told them, whenever you're hungry, just walk into the Chadar Ochel. Don't come in all 10 people at one time. Come in 4 people at a time. Make believe that you belong here. They had Goyish workers. They didn't wear yarmulkes. They were Jewish. They didn't wear yarmulkes. They said, come in and make believe that you work here. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be inhibited or anything. Come sit down. But done not all 10 people at a time. 4 people to sit down on your own table. Don't carry on conversations with the Talmidim so they won't find out who you were. So this fellow wrote this letter to the editor. You see, the Rav Kahneman was helping the terrorists bring about this result to pressure the British to establish the medina. There were religious Jews who were involved every step of the way. Rabbanim and religious Jews were involved every step of the way. So everything is fascinating. All the nisim and the flaws are all fascinating. We have a lot to celebrate.
Great. Not too many rabbis could see what I said.